Vermont lawmakers passed a massive education overhaul last year, but in a lot of ways, it feels like they're right where they started. For this week's Capital Recap, Vermont Public's Peter Hirschfeld and Lola DeFore talk about the state of play for reform in Montpelier.
A year ago, Governor Phil Scott said, "We have to go really big on education reform. We have to change everything about how we fund, how we govern, how we administer our schools." And at that time, you and I said, okay, that is going to mean that the powers that be in Montpelier have to make really hard calls about a slew of political third rails that have bedeviled this state for a century. And then, miracle of miracles, Scott and the democratically controlled legislature came together and they passed this historic education reform, Act 73.
What lawmakers are realizing in the first few weeks of this 2026 legislative session is that they passed this historic law without answering all the thorny questions that have made education reform so difficult historically. And chief among those is school governance, right? Act 73 requires the forced consolidation of 52 supervisory unions and 119 school districts into 10 to 15 units of between 4,000 and 8,000 students. The House and Senate Education Committees that are supposed to deliver that new map are finding out just how difficult it is to resolve the tension that surfaces when you start talking about regionalized governance. This centuries-old tradition of local control has endured for a reason. People want critical decisions about their schools to be made by people with intimate ties to and knowledge of those schools. But a lot of people in Montpelier say the saner and more efficient governance envisioned in Act 73 can't come to pass until and unless people are willing to part with that.
To me, the really interesting thing about local control is not that it is this like mystical sacred cow that people are super emotionally tied to, even though it is that. It's all the practical realities that it is connected to, like whose taxes go up or down, who gets access to private school vouchers, and perhaps most importantly, which schools close and who gets to decide.
Phil Scott has framed opposition to Act 73 as coming from people who just don't want to see their local schools close. In fact, there are a lot of Act 73 opponents who acknowledge that local schools are going to close, who acknowledge that they can't sustain elementary schools with 4 or 6 or 8 students per class. But they'll be damned if the state or some regional board with no members from their community is going to tell them when and how to do it. People want to know that decisions about their most treasured institutions that serve their most treasured assets, their children, are being made by individuals who are personally invested in those communities. And they worry that consolidation of the sort that's envisioned in Act 73 is going to deny them that kind of representation.
It feels to me like we are at an inflection point. And even though Act 73 seemed dead in the water, when Governor Phil Scott issued this ultimatum at the beginning of this session when he said, no Act 73, no redistricting, no state budget, that he provided political cover to people who may privately believe that this has to happen, but who think that politically it's just not something they can do. Do you think that Act 73, as envisioned last year, could become reality?
I don't think it's a hot take to say that the legislature will not be approving a map that has 12 districts, let's say, of 4,000 to 8,000 students. The will just isn't there. So the question becomes, if not that, then what? I don't think a single member of either the House or Senate Education Committee knows exactly what that might look like right now. The question is, what does that alternative path look like when it emerges? Will the General Assembly be able to coalesce around that? And then most importantly, will Phil Scott retreat from this ultimatum he issued earlier this month and consider a less aggressive, less expansive form of governance reform?